Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. Hello, guys. Welcome. We don't care. Bad, good. We care only about value that you can learn on this podcast. I'm so excited to discuss a lot more about paid marketing that is growing fast. Many things are changing with Lisa Resser. How are you?
Great. How are you doing? Very, very excited to be here.
A big pleasure, a big pleasure. I want to learn more about that. I know it's very important. I started to use myself. Mostly we pay attention to organic reach, but the mix of paid marketing and organic reach can provide real great results. And Lisa, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that could help our listeners to learn more about you.
Sure. I've been doing PPC for about 18 years.
Wow.
Yes. And my company is called Big Click Co. And I work with clients on their PPC campaigns, Google Ads, Microsoft Ads, LinkedIn Ads are the platforms that I get asked for the most. And I also speak at conferences and do industry writing for my own newsletter, but also for Search Engine Journal. So I'm very active in the industry and I love it. It never gets boring. There are always changes. There's always something happening.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, of course. If it's boring, just leave it. You know, find something else.
But I can't because there's always something coming up, right?
Yeah, all the time. You know, a lot of changes the last time. So, I mean, like, I can't catch even 80% of them. I mean, like, especially in organic reach, many things are changing. I think in paid marketing as well. So, yeah, we need to find them. Okay, Lisa, I'm interested about started paid marketing for new brands, for brands that don't know about their target audience. I mean, like, if you have data, if you know your target audience, probably it's more simple. But I often see when companies don't know the target audience, they come to create ICP and they usually just suggest what kind of ideal customer profile can be. So can you tell how to behave on that way?
That is a good question. I have worked with a few different companies that were either brand new, releasing a new product, a new division. And so this is usually a situation where they aren't completely sure who their customers are. They do know, though. I mean, they have an idea who they're marketing to, and they need to gather data. And this is a great opportunity for them to use some of the newer AI tools that are out to get a little bit of help.
Mm-hmm. So AI tools can find the target audience?
Right. Yeah. So in terms of just starting out, they, you know, using some of the LLMs to do some brainstorming, you know, outside of the platforms would definitely help. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the one that I prefer for that is Gemini, because mm-hmm. it knows the Google search environment really well. It's trained on it very well. So I really like that one. Mm-hmm. And once they get a clear picture of the audience, they can start to explore what sorts of keywords and how they want to generate more demand for their new business or for their new product.
Yeah, can you tell about how it's accurate? I mean, like, let's imagine you ask on ChatGPT or Gemini or any other tool about target audience, and I'm pretty sure you get response. 100% ChatGPT can draw your target audience. But I'm not sure about if it's relevant. I mean, like, I made the case when one company spent $500K, a lot of money, and got zero sales. Zero, just $500,000. So can you tell how to avoid such things? I mean, like, if you don't know, you just suggest, and ChatGPT can suggest as well, but how is it accurate in your point?
How is it accurate? I think, I found some really good success with Gemini, like I said, because it's trained the best on Google. So you do want to, in the planning stages starting out, you do want to give it as much information as possible. All of the information about your company, all of the information about your product, your competitors. It's not just looking at you, it's looking at its wide training and knowledge from, the entire planet to give you some advice on, what are good target markets. If you have a new company or a product, you certainly know how you're positioning it, what pain points you are trying to solve. And that type of information is extremely valuable because that's how we will define what the target markets are, the audiences we target, the keywords that we use, by looking at it from this like problem solution perspective.
Yeah, got it. I used ChatGPT for over 2 years. I thought it's the best tool, but when I got Gemini 3.0, everything changed. I mean, like the quality just grew a lot. And I started to use more Gemini 3, then ChatGPT 5.2 was released. And I'm impressed with this model as well. So this industry is growing fast. I don't know which model is better, but it's better to test in different specific cases. And Lisa, I want to ask about writing this headings and descriptions, because
Okay.
what I can see, marketers who set up these campaigns, they know how to write headings that people want to click. They know how to write these titles, headings, to use some powerful words, provoking words, emotional words, use different methods. But it's not the same in with SEO. Many webmasters still ignore it. They pay attention to create high quality content, to many things, but they ignore just one simple element, meta tags. And for one specific case, we just rewrote all meta tags. That was weight loss supplements website in the US. And the main problem with this website that they couldn't grow traffic for over 3 years. Traffic was not bad, like 100,000 people monthly, but they spent a lot of money with to update content, to link building, to different types of to brand awareness, but nothing changed. I mean, like small fluctuation, like 5-10%. But when we rewrote just all these meta tags, we doubled traffic in 1 month just with simple twist. And I learned this from paid marketing campaigns. I just opened Google, analyze not SEO results. I analyzed just paid marketing results, and I found that I want to click them. I don't want to click to some snippets in Google top results. Can you tell about your methods? How to write title and description that people want to click?
That, yes. So there are, so, in the past we would have, the ads have come a long way. In the past, the ads were a lot shorter. We had less characters to work with. But now we have dynamic search ads and display ads where we put in all of the assets. So, like up to 10 or 15 headlines and 4 descriptions. So Google can mix and match those headlines and descriptions to form a, perfect ad, one that they think is likely to be clicked on and that will convert. One of my recommendations for this is not to use all of Google's recommendations when you're creating them in the platform, because what you know your product very well. So you'll want to look at a problem, like what we were saying earlier, a problem and a solution, because search has become more conversational and more of the queries we're finding that they're growing because of AI and that question answer format. So what are the best supplements for this problem, or how do I solve this problem with a supplement, vitamin? And so you want to phrase some of these, some of the ad text in the format of an answer, while also including features, benefits, what makes you unique, the unique value proposition. And most importantly, which everyone forgets, a lot of people forget, is the call to action. So many people forget to put that in and pin it in the ad so that they know if they're, you know, getting information, if they're purchasing the product, if they're, you know, what action they're supposed to be taking. Sometimes they don't know when they click through if we don't include the call to action in the ad.
Yeah, interesting. So Google can provide a good job with this automation even to help marketers. But I have the question about that. I mean, like Mark Zuckerberg said that he's going, I mean, like Meta is going to replace marketers when business owners can open paid ads to explain about target audience, and Facebook will do the rest. So with AI can create marketing campaigns, create some content, and there is no need, I mean, like in marketing service. So if Google can provide this automation, do you think we are close to that when Google can replace marketers, or any thoughts about that? Do you think it's possible that this automation can replace marketers today or tomorrow? Or
I think that it can replace some of the redundant work that we have, and the ad platforms can create entire campaigns. But the ad platform's goal in business is to make money for the ad platforms, right? So Meta's goal is to make money for Meta. Mm-hmm. And Google's goal is to make money for Google. So you do need somebody who is in your best interest, you, to be an advocate for you and to, you know, review the work that is being automated. The other thing that I found is a lot of times with, and I'm sure you've seen this with AI, you'll see sort of the same type of writing.
Yeah.
So with the ads, you'll see this, you'll see that as well. Same. And you want to stand out from your competitors. So that's one argument for, you know, not letting AI control everything. Is you want to stand out, not do everything the same as your competitor.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you know, I remember when ChatGPT was released, like in 2022, I listened to many marketing experts. Many of them told, no, it's low quality, nothing special, generic. And many experts suggested you don't need to use AI, probably for ideas, for structure, but don't use for writing. Today, it's quite different story. I think almost everyone can use AI for writing because, for example, I compared my writing with ChatGPT. And I disagree when people can say AI can't write like human beings. I can write like 1,000 different styles, you know. I can write only in my style. But if I teach AI how to write in my style, I can get the same text. Probably, of course, I need to edit a little bit. I mean, like, it's growing. It's improving. And do you think in the future it's possible that AI can replace marketers or not? I mean, like, just suggest, estimate, forecast the future.
I mean, I don't think it can. I think we still have to monitor it, and I think that our roles will change.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, to become AI drivers or managers.
Right. Know, so,
yeah.
Right.
I think, yeah, AI can replace copywriters today. I think, like, all copywriters who want to survive, they need to become AI drivers. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's a great tool, and many people who don't know how to use it, so why not? If you are good with writing, just, I mean, like, for example, I cooperated with big accounting companies, plus 20 years of experience. They work with Fortune 500 companies. Everything looks great. But when I ask them to create content, They don't. They use ChatGPT, but they just generate something useless because they don't have writing background. It's the most important element. I mean, like, you can have experience, but you need to have writing background. And when we hire some specialists to do job, different types of job, we check out two aspects. If they know the specific niche, if they have writing background, then I don't care if they use AI or not. You know, so for me, AI, if you want to use AI, use it, but bring me quality. If you know how to use it, try it. So what do you think about that?
Right. No, that's absolutely right. I do see a lot of low quality where people are not customizing the models as well as they should, and they're not editing it as well. And then, like I said, using, you know, differentiating themselves from other companies. I'll see these ads that are created within the Google ad platform, and some of the copy is actually wrong. It's incorrect. So yeah. They don't put the AI doesn't put in the correct call to action, or it's just pulling things off the website. So here, you know, here's another point for that is that the AI is taking the information from, you know, it's taking it from the things, the input that you're giving it, and also, you know, your website and search trends, but also from your website. And you know that in your business, a lot of companies do not have very good websites.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's discuss about right? that.
Yeah, yeah, so if Google is taking it from your website and your website is not very good and it's poor quality, that's what you're going to get out of the AI. You can almost sort of make up for it if you create really good ads and you get it, you know, a mediocre landing page. But if, you know, one of your sources is a poor website, you know, think about that.
Yeah, of course, of course. And I want to discuss about that, about creating the page, target page, landing page that people want to open. I mean, like, okay, we let's imagine we got a click, but it doesn't mean that we can convert this click. And can you tell your methods how to craft this landing page that can convince people to buy?
Landing pages are tricky. So there isn't one formula, but they contain a lot of the same important elements. So you want, obviously you want it, the theme to match your ads as closely as possible. If someone clicks through on the ad, they expect to see what they saw in the ad on the landing page. And if they don't see that, they will leave because they will be confused. So that would be in the headlines, a copy. You want to have some way for them to respond. So if it's a download, the download offer and the button has to be right there. Like, don't have them read a whole page and then the bottom of the page is the offer. If you're trying to get a contact or a call, that should be also up at the top. Because keep in mind, many people will be coming from mobile as well. So it should be easy to respond and convert from a mobile device as well. Yeah. The call to action should be prominent. They should know what's going to happen when they fill out the form or when they call. They should know what to do on the page. And limiting the navigation for landing pages is helpful because it reduces their options to click away from your offer.
Yeah, you know, I have the struggle. I remember Mark Twain when he said, "I don't have time to write short letter, so that is why I write long letter." So for me, it's a big struggle because when I want to describe some specific product, I want to put all benefits, everything about this product, but it confuses. So, and it's better to cut and leave just important data. Can you tell how to find this important data? Because for me, I just want to tell everything about the product. I want to describe how this product is good, how it can solve problems, but how to find something that customers really need.
Right. Yeah, that's where, you know, that's where you will need to have different campaigns and test different messaging. So it might be solving what a problem in one way, like the product, you know, saving time for the team. It might, maybe another problem is in accuracy. Maybe the products is helping to run everything more accurate. I don't know. But those could be those are two separate problems. They could be two separate landing pages where you put those problems and solutions at the top for either page to address those audiences. It could be where you're talking to different buyers at the company. So the CEOs of the company will have different needs. They'll want to know more about their return on the investment on the product versus maybe the marketing manager wants to know the ease of use and how their team can be more successful with this tool. So,
Yeah, got it. Can you tell who, I know some businesses who have great success with LinkedIn, someone is good with YouTube. Some businesses can get great sales with influence marketing, many different types. But I know some businesses tried Google Ads and it doesn't work for them. Probably, I don't want to criticize a specific case, but assuming that they didn't set up the right marketing campaigns. Probably they don't know how to do it right or cooperate with their own people who just pretend to have skills about that. But can you tell which businesses don't need paid marketing like Google Ads and your tips, for example, if someone failed, what to do? I mean, like to give up and go to other channels or still find the way, probably other people who can help with that. So, any tips about that?
For Google Ads specifically?
Yeah.
I had a situation recently where I launched a client and they were getting no conversions for a month. And we worked on the optimization and on optimizations and new settings using the smart bidding tools in Google. And after implementing those changes, they had a lead every single day. So it went from zero to good, what they think is good. So what I learned in that situation was that it seems like a small change, but it's a big change behind the scenes where Google was optimizing for these conversion settings and for these revenue settings rather than for just sending traffic to the website. So my advice would be to try to, it's hard to try to zero in on what the problem could be by looking at the data, see if you can diagnose where the problem area is and if you can fix that. And you don't want to make a lot of changes right away. You want to gather some data and give it some time, which can be super frustrating if it's, you know, not working out. But that's what I would recommend. But after, you know, trying things, giving it some time to see if it works, it might not be the right channel, or maybe your audience isn't there, or maybe you don't have the resources in-house or the skill set to follow through with that program. And so moving on from something that you fail at is you know, your best gift to yourself, because you shouldn't, you know, continue to, you know, work on something that isn't working, that's not going well.
Okay, got it, got it. So each case is different, so it's better to learn.
Yeah.
Each case. Okay, can you tell the biggest advantage to cooperate with BigClick.com? Why you are better than others? Why people need to cooperate with you? Can you convince my listeners, I mean, like, to open your website and reach out to you and set up these marketing campaigns?
Right. I think the biggest benefit to working with me is the experience that I have in being in the industry for so long and seeing where things have been and how they have evolved, and working on hundreds of accounts over the years and seeing these different examples. So when you asked me about a campaign that isn't working, that was just a recent example, but I have, like, you know, probably 10 more examples of how you can turn accounts around when they're not performing the way you want. And that, you know, that experience and in-depth knowledge of which, you know, which levers to flip or move is definitely an advantage to working with me.
Yeah, got it, got it. So guys, if you wanna cooperate with Lisa, please tell her that you heard about your company on this podcast. Okay, let's discuss more about the future. Let's forecast the future more. I can admit that I'm terrible on that. I failed to forecast American president. I failed with Bitcoin price, you know, many things. I remember, like, 10 years ago, one of my friends came to me and asked, do you want to buy this Bitcoins, future money, you know, you just take it, like 1,000 Bitcoins, you know, it's almost nothing. I replied, no, I don't even know what is it. So yeah, I mean, like, for me, forecast is not my strong side, but I just adapt to whatever happens. I'm on the second stage. I can't create Google or Facebook or ChatGPT, but I can use this technology. And if I get new updates, I just move fast and think how I can implement in my campaigns. But can you tell your prediction about the future? Let's forecast it. Do you think we can go to the future when all marketers can be replaced? Because many discussions about that. And or any other automation that can be, I mean, like, or some automation that can save time to marketers, but we still the case. So anything about that?
Well, I think, you know, we talked about if we can replace marketers, and what comes to mind is, if you remember, you know, the first marketers went, you know, were going door to door to houses to sell things, right? And that changed.
But that was sales.
What?
That was sales, not
right,
marketing.
Right. Well, they're kind of their marketing, right? Yeah. And newspaper ads. Yeah. And then, you know, we did, like, you know, like traditional TV and radio, and now we have different products that sort of replace it, like, you know, like the CTV ads, and we have a way to reach out to people through the internet instead of knocking on their door. So that's just an example of how things will evolve over time, but not replace. Very few of those examples, they, like, directly replaced, and everyone is standing there without a job, because we still need the marketers to tell the AI to inform it and how to advise us. I think, you know, some of those, again, repetitive tasks can be solved by that. And I think that we're looking at a lot of the features and the ad platforms that are being developed that are a combination of the advertiser having control. So they're still controlling the keywords, they're controlling the conversion actions and the structure, but then Google or the platform is recommending maybe some of the easier things. Like you said, it's very good at writing and language, so it can help us do the writing and, you know, expedite that part of the process. because they're integrating those two concepts together, I really see for the future, in at least the short term, that we're going to continue to be, you know, working together with those AI features. And like you said, like be the AI marketing manager, managing those tools to move faster forward.
Yeah, got it. Mm-hmm. In 2022, we discussed with you on this podcast about YouTube ads. And I remember this episode very valuable. And all this topic today that we discussed, it's more about Google Ads, but let's touch YouTube. I listened to audio podcast with Gary Vaynerchuk, and he said his company can use one interesting approach. When they create video, many types of videos, like let's imagine 5 videos, they publish all those videos on social media. And if some videos get high organic reach, they use this video for paid marketing. And because he explained about that, if a video can work with organic reach, it will work with paid marketing as well. So what do you think about this approach? Is it a good idea? Because I mean, like sometimes when we, I like it, but if we check out another way, I mean, like videos that can win organic reach, it's tough to put call to action, stroke call to action to sell products. Basically, you can get a lot of views, but it doesn't mean that you can sell. So what do you think about this idea?
I think, well, it depends. I mean, if they're doing the organic videos with the purpose of selling from the organic videos,
yeah,
then that makes sense. But if someone is just not incorporating marketing tactics into the video, then obviously it's not going to work. I mean, there's a time constraint often, right, of the organic video being longer than maybe the ad. There are the, you know, the hooks and key communication messaging, the, you know, all of that fun marketing stuff, like the call to action. And so there's a little bit of a different strategy. If the if the base concepts of that organic video work well, then they can apply that to a YouTube ad to get a response from.
Yeah, got it. It's interesting because in my company we use a quite different approach, because we usually film videos, especially for small channels, you know, if they don't have a lot of subscribers or loyal audience, but we add a little bit some views from paid marketing, and it can help with organic reach. So we get organic reach, and it usually we work with brand awareness. But when I listened to this episode, I thought, okay, why I don't try it like that? I mean, like, vice versa. So right.
Right. And for the paid ads, for the paid YouTube ads, you get to target in extreme detail your audience, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an advantage to doing it through as an ad rather than organic copy. But if they have the same kind of theme, you could apply it, but I wouldn't, you don't just copy it over.
Yeah, of course. And I want to ask you about most popular, or probably not popular, most mistakes that you can see, because I, in my experience, I often see when companies just waste money with pay-per-click in many reasons. I don't know what kind of reasons, but I think like, you know, better from your experience. Can you share mistakes that many companies still do, but can avoid? So from your experience.
Where the biggest mistakes?
Yeah, biggest mistakes. Yeah.
I think one of the biggest mistakes I still see, and this goes back to basics, is the keyword selection and not understanding the searcher intent. Mm-hmm. So this is the mistakes, right? They'll use keywords that the company CEO likes. They'll use keywords that maybe the salespeople like. They will use very general and generic keywords. They will look up, they'll look up keywords from who knows where, maybe maybe an LLM or maybe from a free keyword tool online. And all of that is not very focused. It's not focused. It's not data informed, obviously. And so that's where a lot of money is wasted on these poor keywords that really that are to form the foundation. Because even with Google's, the AI tools and their platform and the other ones also, they're still using those as a base to understand what, you know, what you want. So if those are too general and generic, they're going to match it with a bunch of junk, basically.
Yeah, guys, learn it. Avoid this mistake. Yeah. Okay, I have my final question, very important question. You know, to be honest, I never tried to gather the audience who just want to join this niche, digital marketing, paid marketing, but I have them. I still have questions from people who are students, interns, and the main problem what I can see today, many of them can't find jobs. We analyzed some data. I mean, like in 2025, big tech companies laid off 65,000 people. A lot of people: Google, Microsoft, IBM. Microsoft laid off 9,000 people. IBM 8,000 because of AI. AI can replace smart people because only smart people can join these companies. They don't never hire people with low skills or experience, but smart people can lose jobs because of AI. And it's not even the same with like 10 years ago or 20 years ago when companies were looking for interns, someone who didn't have experience can join to acquire experience, but do some manual tasks, boring tasks probably, but it doesn't matter. Both were fine. But today, all companies are looking for AI agents who can replace interns, who can replace this manual job. So, can you advise such people? I mean, like, let's imagine, forget about your experience in Google Ads, YouTube. It's your first day in paid marketing. You want to join this niche. You want to become an expert in one day. So what will you do if nobody wants to hire you?
Well, I would, there are a couple different things. I think you should be well-rounded as a marketer if you want to be in digital advertising. So I think a general marketing degree experience. So you know what the different pieces are that you need to connect to. Studying and getting certificates for the details of the platforms that you prefer to work in. Number three, being part of a community. So if it's whatever, a Reddit thing, a industry association, being part of a bigger picture where you can hear what other people have to say and get their input, and networking. So in those organizations, in those groups, at conferences, or if you need to do it online, whatever you need to do to meet other people that you can learn from. If you can't be hired for an internship, you could always volunteer to work on a project to build up your experience and your resume, because then you get experience, but you also make a lot of contacts. So that's how I think you need to get it to hit it from all angles and be well-rounded and gain that experience that way.
Nice, nice. By the way, I did it totally the same when I started, you know, because I started on freelance, and when I got it that I can't compete with other freelancers that have ratings, a lot of reviews, I had zero. what I did, I just started to do many things almost for free, almost, you know, I mean, like, I didn't ask for money. I mean, like, okay, if other freelancers can provide consultation, like 15 minutes, I did it for 2 hours. 2 hours, I consulted, explained, but I acquired experience how to cooperate with customers. I acquired experience how to do this thing. So I charge the most low price ever, but I acquired experience. That was more important. Yeah, I agree with that. Like
right.
it.
Right. Yes. So a lot of people, companies that are hiring, they don't just want the skills. That's everybody can get the skills on paper, but they want people that are good problem solvers and planning ahead and insightful and that are ambitious. And like you're saying, you know, we're working on those projects. That's the best thing you can do, because it shows that you're really dedicated to the work that you want to do, not that you're sitting back and waiting for something to come to you.
Awesome. Lisa, it's a big pleasure to get on my show. It's your time you speak on this podcast. A big pleasure. Welcome back anytime to share more valuable bombs. Tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
You can follow me and contact me through my website, bigclickco.com, or on LinkedIn. Is a great way to connect, and we can check out each other's experience and what we're up to.
Okay, guys. Again, if you want to reach out to Lisa, please just mention that you listen to this audio podcast. Thanks again, Lisa. It's a big pleasure. Welcome back anytime. You know, you know how to share value. You did it 2 times before on this podcast. You did it again. So always a big pleasure to learn from you. I probably can become your customer, by the way, because I'm looking for paid marketing campaigns for my SaaS product. So for now, I'm working with different channels, but I need someone who can check out on different angle how to get customers. Okay, guys, thanks a lot for listening and watching us.